everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me today. It is a chilly November 5th. The weather just is doing what it always does, getting cooler. And that's okay, just as long as you have what you need to stay warm and dry and cozy. And I hope you are warm and dry and cozy at this moment, and you can sit back and relax and listen to this hour where we talk about my favorite subject, food. I wanted to let you know, before we get started with today's guest, that I happen to be the featured force on the website, The Blooming Platter, theBloomingPlatter.com, and you may remember, not sure when it was, but I interviewed Betsy DeJulio, who's the author of a cookbook, The Blooming Platter, a beautiful book, and she has a website, thebloomingplatter.com, and she recently started a vegan Q&A Tuesday. It's kind of based on James Lipton's famous Q&A on the Inside the Actor's Studio. You might be familiar with that, but it was kind of fun. She gave me some questions. I answered them, and you can see my responses at thebloomingplatter.com. So if you go there, let me know what you think. And you can check out the other featured forces. Last month was Brianna, I think it was Brianna Grogan. I'm looking on the website here. And let's see. Oh, well, you can check it out on your own. Oh, yeah, it was Brianna Clark Grogan, and then Robin Robertson, and then me. And next month will be Nava Atlas, and then Laura Theodore, all lovely women who love the kind of food that I love. All right, let's move on to my first guest, Tina Lee, who is the founder of Oat Health and author of Balance Raw and Superfood Juices and Smoothies. She's passionate about raising the bar on wellness and uses a variety of holistic services to support small businesses and individuals in achieving whole being transformation. She's a therapeutic chef, certified holistic health practitioner, and author, public speaker, and entrepreneur. We're going to be talking about her book, Balance Raw. Welcome to It's All About Food, Tina.
Hi, Karen. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here today.
Oh, thank you. Now, lately I've been asking a lot of guests if I pronounce their name correctly, so I'm going to ask you, is it Lee? Is it Lay? How do you pronounce your name?
Lee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ding, I got it right.
I'll answer to both, but it's Lee.
Okay, good. And then is it Oat Health?
Hot Health or Hot Health, depending really on where you are in the world. In Europe, it might be Hot, and here we refer to it as Hot. So H-A-U-T-E can be either way.
Oh, so how is it? Does it have a different meaning? I'm taking the French version of it as high health.
Hot Health as, yes, like haute couture, high fashion, high couture, the same thing for nutrition. Yes.
Okay. I speak French, so I don't like pronouncing the H. I just wondered what Americans do with those words.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes it just comes out as hot.
Okay, Hot Health, whatever. It's a great name, and you have a website, however you want to say it, oathealthnow.com, HAUTEHEALTHNOW.com.
Yes.
And you don't have to know how to say it. You just need to go there, visit, and learn the secrets to happy, delicious living, right?
That's right. Thank you.
Good. All right. So briefly, just give us a little bit of your story. How did you get here from wherever?
Sure. It's been quite a journey, but the short version is years ago, I had a lot of illnesses as a child and well into my 20s, and living in the Western world, I adopted Western medicine and went the conventional route and ended up amassing huge medical bills that were with no end in sight in covering those. You could name every illness that I would somehow get it. And these conditions got so severe, and I've just got really fed up and decided that I needed to do something radical at that time to shake things up. And I adopted more of Eastern philosophy, which is a lot about bringing harmony and balance back into the body, right? So Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine, things of that nature, bringing nutrition into the picture is what ultimately helped me heal. It was a long recovery, but a path that along the way I discovered I wasn't alone, and there were many people like me who had conditions and illness and just dis-ease that our Western medical system wasn't addressing in its entirety. And that is where I was inspired to go down the path that I have to help bring this message to the masses and to stimulate awareness around the importance of clean eating and the importance of clean thinking and mindful eating and mindful living. And along the way, I was able to write both on my blog and the book Balanced Raw and my latest superfood juices and smoothies. And that's where I'm at now, is promoting those and working with clients that come via those materials.
Well, that's great. And what I like to do on this show, I talk a lot about food, obviously. It's all about food. And often I bring on different people who have had individual experiences, a health crisis of one or another, and found that foods were a big piece of their getting well. And I think it's important to hear all of the individual stories, because everybody that's listening, they might relate to one or another, or have a relative or a friend that's experiencing something specific. And sometimes, well, when we talk about how healthy foods, a healthy diet can reduce the risk of every chronic disease, people may not get it. They may not relate to it. They need to hear an individual story of somebody who had something like they experienced and latch onto that. So your story is important. Your work is important. And, of course, we need everybody talking about this. I'm looking at a Bizarro.com cartoon, if you're familiar with Bizarro. And somebody just sent it to me today. But it's a guy in a white coat in a classroom, and it's entitled First Day of Med School. And he's pointing to the blackboard, and it says, "Preventative medicine kills return business." So there you were. You were going through conventional medicine here in the Western world, and it wasn't solving any of your problems, and your bills just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Yes.
Because that's return business.
Exactly. And it's the common suffering in our culture here in America. Feel that you know, like I said, I wasn't alone. The listeners recognize they're not alone. They may feel like it sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Are there names for some of the specific things that you had?
Sure. At 18 years old, I was diagnosed with melanoma that came out of seemingly nowhere. So that was the biggest one. Mm-hmm. I'll go big and then work backwards. and I had really severe ulcerative colitis in my digestion, completely screwed up. I had been on Accutane, unfortunately, for 3 years straight, that I was never advised to not be on it, and it eradicates your healthy digestion, really.
All the good flora.
It destroys villi and all of the bacteria. Yeah, exactly. And I had really chronic rashes and kind of hive skin conditions that would occur frequently. I was highly allergic to a lot of environmental factors, be that smoke, perfumes. Things would make my throat tighten up if I came across a perfume or any sort of paint, fumes of paint, gasoline. I was just really highly sensitive to, I shouldn't say allergic, highly sensitive to these environmental toxins.
You know, that's a good thing you bring up. Well, people don't realize, especially those that are highly allergic or allergic to different things, what they don't realize is when their body is already inflamed from eating the wrong foods, you're going to be more sensitive to your environment. And if you clean all of that up, you get rid of the inflammation, and that may or may not get rid of all your allergies, but it will definitely reduce them.
Absolutely, and that goes for environmental as well as food allergies and sensitivities, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, but not enough people talk about that, so I'm glad you brought that up. And now you're beautiful and healthy in and out, right?
Well, thank you, and I will say I feel better now than I have ever felt in my life, and a lot of it has to do with, like you're describing here, the foods we eat, what we put into our body, and how we digest and assimilate that is essential. And so, you know, we want to make sure that we're eating the foods at our individual level that are most absorbable and assimilated in our unique constitution. So there's a lot of diets, again, in our Western culture that are like the one answer. It's the one diet, the single diet that's going to solve everybody's problems, make them feel better and not have illness. But what works for you isn't necessarily going to work for me, and that's where Balanced Raw comes in, because it addresses the individual, which is really essential in this, in the healing process, or just in healthy living altogether.
Okay, so on one hand, we're not alone, because there are all kinds of people out there that are experiencing ridiculous health problems, very severe, very serious, that food can definitely help. But on the other hand, we're all unique. Not alone, but unique, and plant foods can work for us individually in wonderful ways.
Yes, yeah. And there's some finesse, really, in discovering what that looks like for us. And clean plant foods have a tremendously high vibration compared to those that are denatured and harder to digest, which would be animal proteins. But those are that are easy, more easily digestible, we find that it does elevate our internal vibration and our ability for our bodies to heal themselves.
Now, that's an interesting concept, vibration, and it's not something that current science talks about a lot or has a lot of evidence for, but I think we'll be learning a lot more about it in the future as our science becomes more sophisticated, because there are definitely things that we don't know about. And energy is very, very magical, and there's a lot of mystery involved, and I look forward to learning more about it, because we are all energy. And it's important that we consume the right kind of energy that works with us, not against us. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so you've written a 4-week program, Balanced Raw.
Yeah.
So can we just touch on what goes on in those 4 weeks?
Yes, of course. So the very first week is all about elimination and getting the junk out of the diet, which would be processed food, those ridden with chemicals. And I even spell out some of those chemicals that are really common that that are highly toxic. You know, your aspartames, for example. And I go into what those are in a list format, as well as what they cause in our bodies, the inflammation or the disease that they cause. And so this first week is all about getting that out of your pantry, getting it out of your house and out of your eating environment, and finding those ingredients and foods that are more healthful and nutritive alternatives that you can bring into the eating environment so that they're at the forefront of your experience and accessible to you always, whereas the other ones are removed. It also talks about eliminating those foods that are more difficult to digest and break down, like we were just mentioning, animal proteins, for example, and getting the body prepared for a more cleansing experience. It's always nice to ease into a cleanse or a detox, and this is that easing period.
Now, when we talk about elimination, that means getting rid of things out of the body, and then they have to come out. And a lot of people don't like to talk about that part of it. But whenever we change our diet, whether it's a good diet or a bad diet, our bowels change, our movements change. And that can be kind of shocking to people. I mean, it can be, and it, as you said before, we're all unique, and our response can be dramatically different.
For sure. I'm glad you bring that up, Karen. And I go address that in the book, too, things to be aware of. So that we're not frightened if we are, you know, frequently eliminating waste, or we're stopped up for a little while, and what you can do to balance either situation to make it more comfortable for you to go through the process, but also how to learn to accept that that is part of the natural process. Because, like you said, it can be scary or uncomfortable, and if somebody's not prepared either emotionally or just with information, they may stop the program or they may go a different direction because it, you know, they just weren't ready.
So, you know, I don't think we mentioned this before, but this book is a mix of raw foods and minimally processed cooked plant foods. It's not 100% raw foods, and that's what you mean by balanced raw.
Right. Yes.
And that's important, and we can talk more about that. I just wanted to say that I was talking to somebody this week who wanted to know more about healthy food, and one thing that he was doing was going to a raw food restaurant and for 3 days was buying different dishes there to do a cleanse. And I was asking him a number of questions because there's a lot of wonderful raw food restaurants out there, but some of them, in order to satisfy people, in order to make them feel full and sated, their dishes are full of nuts, oil, and salt. And you feel full and then kind of sick afterwards sometimes because it's too rich. So people can be really confused about what raw food is. Just like any diet, there's a wide range of what's considered raw, and it's not all ideal.
Yeah. That's, again, glad you bring that up. That's basically chapter one of the book is all about the fats and concentrated fats. So that's our oils. And what happens when we eat too much fat, as well as when we consume oils that have been sitting on a shelf, which they do in a cafe, in a restaurant, or on the shelf at the grocery store, they become toxic because they're oxidizing when exposed to heat, light, air, and we then are eating, through those kinds of oils and concentrated fats, toxins, when it would serve us better to have the whole fat, be it an avocado or, you know, the fat from a coconut or the fat from nuts and seeds, in moderation so that we're not overdoing it. A nut pate or a nut spread at a traditional raw restaurant can give us a week's worth of fat in one serving. You know, it's pretty unreal, and you're right. It's delicious, and it's sating, and it's, you know, it's all of those things that we, that make us feel good, but it's good temporarily. And then you get this block up traffic jam in the digestive system because it's too much for it to process. It cannot process that much fat at once or that much protein at once. And then you have that issue of digestibility again.
You know, you mentioned aspartame, which is one of those horrible, evil things out there, and so many people consume it in their diet foods and their diet drinks. And I just like to repeat this as often as I can because most people don't realize that aspartame increases your appetite, and if people are drinking diet sodas because they don't want to have the calories, they don't realize that it's a vicious circle and it makes you want to eat more, and it's also wreaking havoc on your body because it's not something that's meant to be in your body.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. I think that's the case for so many chemicals. They're chemicals. They stimulate a neurological reaction, and
they're man-made. They're man-made chemicals.
Right. They're supposed to be in there. They're in there to stimulate desire to eat them more.
Yeah, exactly. Return business.
Precisely. I'm liking that cartoon.
Yeah, it's just funny that I got it today. Well, people know what I'm interested in, so they're always sending me fun things. Okay, what happens in week two?
Yeah, so week two, once you've eliminated, we move into the detox and cleansing phase. And it's light, it's a lot of blended soups, easily digestible.
I'm looking at the cooling sweet pea and mint soup. That looks yummy.
So good. And it can be served warm this time of year since it's getting a little chillier.
Mm-hmm.
You could have that warmed. And there's some smoothies in here. There's other tonics and light salads that are more easily digestible. And so you learn in the second week what sort of nutrients really help facilitate deeper cleansing, and that's, you know, dandelion root or milk thistle or glutathione and sulfur. It talks about those, and those nutrients are actually in the dishes of these recipes to support that week. It also goes into talking about detoxing steps, things that help you, as I was just mentioning, with, you know, what happens if I'm pooping more or not enough, or, I'm tired or fatigued or have a headache because I'm detoxing. It talks about all ways to kind of make it through it with grace, if you will. And then the recipes. And then it's a nice segue into chapter three, which is really exciting. It's week three, not chapter three, week three. And that's reintroducing some cooked foods into the diet, because in week two, you take the cooked foods out. And week three is restoring those. And it also gives you a whole section on how to test for food allergens and food sensitivities at home, where through certain evaluation questions, you're able to discover, is it disrupting my well-being? And I give examples of what to test on particular days and make notes of it in a journal, so you can check down the list and say, wow, find it interesting that as I reintroduced corn into my diet, or soy into my diet, or peanuts into my diet, or any other common allergen, what was my body's response?
Mm-hmm. You know, we have to take responsibility, and our doctors can't know everything about us. Only we know how we feel inside.
Yeah, and it's really important. You know, we can go to a naturopath, for example, or another doctor, and get a food allergy panel, and those, I've had it done myself a couple of times, and so have many of my clients, and they serve us well as a guide. But what this part, most of what this book is about, and my message to listeners and clients, is that that's all really great material to work with, but it's not the end answer. The end answer is within, and what our body is telling us, and it will tell us before a blood test will, if something isn't working within our constitution. And so this teaches us how to check in. And it's not only for common food allergens, but to be aware whenever we are eating, how do I feel afterwards? Am I sluggish? Am I congested? Did I not sleep as well? Did I not poop normally? Did I have gas or bloating? So it gets us to, you know, this section of the book anyway, really talks about that, and it's a great guide for learning how to listen to what our bodies are wanting to tell us.
And the only way you're going to know is if you write things down, because our memories are not that good. And you might have a symptom and say, I think I had this yesterday. That must have been it. And we really have no way of knowing unless we really carefully watch for the trends and write things down.
Absolutely. And it evolves over time, right? What's not working for me today may work tomorrow. And it changes with our stress factors in life, level of anxiety, how much rest we're getting, what are we eating, where are we living, what's the climate, what's the time of day. I mean, these are all variables that it's a lot to think about when you're beginning this kind of lifestyle. It becomes second nature once you've been doing it a while.
Now, people like to snack, and in week three, you've got kale chips and you've got parsnip chips. Say that three times fast, parsnip chips.
I'll let you say it three times fast.
So much better than anything you can find in the store in a bag with oil and salt and a lot of manipulation. This is such real food.
Yep. There's another one in there, too, for the sweeter side. I'm more of the salty snack person, but I do like the occasional sweet, and there's some lemon bars in there that are just super yummy. They're tangy with fresh lemon juice, and there's a little undertone of vanilla, and they're sweetened with dates. And so you get a whole sugar as opposed to, a concentrated syrup like agave or something.
Right. Very good. Now, you talk a bit about water, and, we cannot forget how important water is. We're made up mostly of water, and a lot of times that's the simplest cure to what ails us. We could be feeling so many things, and it's because we are dehydrated.
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, by the time we're thirsty, we're dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you talk about what we should do with water. Drink it, of course.
Drink it. I talk about, as kind of a guideline, if you will, and if this isn't entirely backed by enough science, but in experience with many people that I've worked with and all of the research that I have done, usually half your weight in ounces, that's a good barometer for the day, and you want it to be filtered clean water. And if that means purchasing a filter for your home, absolutely. If that means buying filtered bottled water, way better than tap, because I talk about all of the different toxins that are in our water supply, unfortunately, and we don't want to be drinking those. And if we can attach a filter to our shower, that's also a great idea, because our skin, being our largest organ, is absorbing all of those toxins as well. So, I do go into that.
Don't forget, our skin is our largest organ, and everything's going in. It's so easy to forget these things. Now, I know what most people say, and this is the last thing I want to talk about before I let you go, because we're almost at the end of the half hour. Too much work, people go. Too much. This is too much trouble. I hear this all the time. I'm very passionate about this. I personally think that, if you want to feel great, and my listeners know I'm always saying this, you don't know how good you can feel. But everything takes time, takes effort, and what do you counsel your clients? How do you motivate them to want to dig in and do what's necessary?
Yeah, a couple of things. First is what I mentioned before. It is a process, and it starts out being a little bit bumpy and effort, but it becomes second nature over time. It really does. That's the first thing. Second of all, get the support, whether that be get your family on track with whatever the intention is to, elevate your eating experience and your lifestyle. Try your best to not go it alone, and invite those that are friends and family to join in the effort with you, and then also look to, you know, resources that resonate with you and that you do what you can. I just recently had a woman who bought the book and was doing the program with her husband, and they were getting just the most resounding results and updating me frequently on my Facebook and otherwise. And, you know, she would send me text messages and say, I'm traveling and I, you know, there's only this restaurant in this small town. Can I eat there? You know, and my message back was, you do what you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because the stress alone will make us sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do the best you can as often as you can. And that's huge in my guidance, because we will lose our minds if we just try to do it all so perfect all the time. We're human. We're going to celebrate. We're going to imbibe. We're going to enjoy things, right? You know, so that's the other piece, is do what you can, you know, and don't force yourself to do more than you can keep up with. And as you do that week after week, month after month, you will find you'll just be in a completely different experience after a while.
Gina, thank you very much for joining me on It's All About Food with Balanced Raw.
Thank you, Karen. It's been great.
Thank you. And visit HoteHealthNow.com for more on Tina and her information. Okay, have a great day. We're going to take a little break. I just wanted to mention, during the break, maybe you'll go to ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com. That's my website. And I wanted to recommend scrolling down a little bit on the right-hand column to where it says Real Water, Water Made Wonderful. I think we talked about water, and it's so important to have clean water. And I distill my water, and I found a company that makes distillers in the United States. This is a rare thing, having something made in the United States. But if you click on that link, you'll learn more about that company and their distiller products. I recommend them. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Mark Beekhoff about his new book, Why Dogs Hump and Bees Get Depressed.